That was good. We're going to take a minute as we start. Our pastor's out today. He's in Colorado skiing. Can you imagine? Side note. He's in Colorado visiting family and skiing and things like that. So we just want to take a minute and lift him up in prayer, him and Melanie. And we're going to pray that they have a incredible time visiting family, and they stay safe on their travel back. So just bow your heads and just ask the Lord to do that this morning. Father, we're just grateful this morning that you've placed us here. We're grateful this morning for our pastor and for his family as he travels, as he takes some time away. We pray that you would refresh him. We pray that you would keep him safe on their travels, that you'd keep him safe on the mountains as they ski and as they have fun and just enjoy their family. We pray special blessing in his life, and then we pray for travel mercies as they travel home. We also just want to thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word as we break into it. I pray that you would speak loudly to us, God, as we do that, that you would speak into our lives exactly what we need to hear this morning, and we trust you to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. You've caught us in the middle of a sermon series called Awesome God. And basically, what Greg has been doing is going through some of the characteristics of God that at different points in life, at different points in time, that God is awesome. And he shows himself in different ways. And so we've looked at things like an awesome creator and a challenging message that God forms and he fills. And it's something that comes through even to today, where it's like he forms life in you and then he begins to fill life in you. And just from the dawn of creation, God is about forming and he's about filling. And we've looked at Jehovah Jireh, who is the awesome provider. And we've looked at just different characteristics of God. And in each of those, they come down to some real practical sense and some real practical sort of element. And some of these, which I experienced in the form of just a couple of hours yesterday. And so it's been a really good week. Like, lots of studying done, lots of time. Like I had sermon notes turned in by Wednesday afternoon, which is really good. Like, usually it's pushing the end of Warner's week, and I'm still not sure. But, like, it's been a really good week preparation-wise and all that. And then comes the weekend. And the weekend just gets really hectic. And like, part of my motivation is basketball, right? Is anybody watching basketball? It's all been pretty mediocre. Like it hadn't been, the tournament to me hasn't been like spectacular like it is most year, but I still watch. I still watch most of it. And so I wanted to get all that done before Thursday so I could just like follow games. And like, it's so fun. And so then the weekend comes, and our 16-year-old had a little get together this weekend and has friends over and you know, sweet 16 birthday party and all this. And so it gives me an opportunity to watch the little girls yesterday. And so you know, we're trying to discuss how all this is gonna happen and how they're gonna get here, and so we finally just decided, like the girls decided this, that they were willing to stay with me the whole day, like the whole day meaning noon to whenever they got done, if they would get lunch. Like there's high expectations here. Like, as long as he feeds us lunch, will stay with you. Like, I don't miss many meals. I just don't. And when they're with me, they eat. But the truth of it is that at some level, they needed provision. They needed lunch. They were hungry, right? And then it wasn't very long after that I got rid of one of the kids. That's what dads do, right? Right? Can I get an amen? No, you guys, tell the truth. So here's what happened is one of my kids went to a birthday party, and then it's just me and the little one, who's probably the most work of all, by the way. So she's three, and she's like, I want to go to the park. And I'm like, you want to go to the park? I make dreams come true. Let's go to the park. So we go to the park, and we're playing, and there's a couple kids that come up that we don't know, and she's just like, she ditches me and goes play with them, and on top of the slide, like, I don't like you anymore. I'm going to play with them. And I'm like, okay. But she's over there playing and is chasing this little girl and starts to run and just face plants right in the mulch. And I'm like, are you okay? Like, I didn't get up. We have four kids. You don't get up and go chase that down when you have four kids. You're just like, are you okay? No blood, no foul. And so she starts bleeding on her leg. And at that point, she needed somebody to doctor her, right? She needed somebody to, I don't know how you do it or how you're supposed to do it, but we just take like a napkin and put some water on it, and it's all better. Everything's better now. The blood's gone. It's okay. And then it wasn't long after that just within the chance, the time of a couple hours that you have a chance to be a shepherd and kind of lead them and guide them and protect them along the way. And so the things that we're talking about all within a span of a very short time just kind of came through. And it's like, man, this is really like as a human father could be, we try to do well, but we serve a good, good father. And a perfect father, and he does so much better even than we do. And so when we feel compassion, when we feel provision, when we feel that shepherding nature, like man, God is just so much better at that. And so this morning, we're going to cover Jehovah Rapha. And basically it means this, the Lord who heals. God is a healing God. And a lot of times when we begin to look at that, we begin to look at the physical and we think, well, I've got an ailment, I've got a broken this. In fact, a lot of times we focus that in our prayer groups and with our groups that we go into. A lot of times those lists look like that, don't they? We want to pray for so-and-so's hip and so-and-so's shoulder and so-and-so's knee. And it looks a whole lot less about a big way that God is into healing and into healing the spiritual and into healing the emotional. And so what I want to tell you this morning as we start is this, is that whatever you're feeling, whatever overwhelming things that are in your life, whatever apprehension that may be there, whatever anxiousness that you may feel, maybe you're tired, maybe you feel pressure, is that we serve an awesome God. A God who one of his jobs is to heal. One of his jobs is to take care of that. And so here's some background. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 15. If you'll grab your Bible and go there, we'll start at verse 22. But here's the background on it, is that Moses is leading the Israelites, and Pharaoh is the king of Egypt. The king of Egypt has the Israelites enslaved, and so they're doing their work. And Moses goes to Pharaoh, and he says, let my people go. And in fact, when he says that, the Lord says, let my people go. And Pharaoh's response is one of indignity, and he says this. He says, who is this? Who is the Lord that I should let these people go? And so God basically says, let me introduce myself. There's 10 rounds that they go. And by the time these 10 plagues are over with, finally Pharaoh understands who the Lord is. And he lets the people go. And so not long after that, he has a second thought. He decides that was a mistake Pharaoh did, and he begins to pursue them with his army. And so God leads his people away from that. In fact, you remember how he led them. He led them during the day by what? By a cloud, and he led them by night by fire. So the Bible says this, is that God led his people out of bondage, and he led them in a cloud by day and a fire by night. And he leads them to the point where they go as far as they can go. Like, they're being chased. It's here. We've got the Red Sea, and we've got to cross, but there's no way to cross. And so we see this mighty work of God. We see this incredible, even if you're a kid, even if you're young, you understand the Red Sea, and you understand how big of a deal that it was. When the Red Sea is divided and people are delivered, they come out on the other side, and Moses sings a song. I wonder this week, I wonder if he wrote it, or if it just came out. Like I tend to think it just kind of came out, and it's beautiful. It's in Exodus chapter 15, and you can read that later on today. But this song just comes out about how great and how mighty that the Lord is. And in the middle here in chapter 15, we hear about some prophetess. We hear about Miriam and the women who are dancing and who are expressing that same kind of worship to God based on his deliverance of them. And that's where we come into in chapter 15. We pick it up at verse 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. Anyone thirsty? Anyone thirsty yet? Yes. 3 days in the desert, are you thirsty? Awful. Like, I'm thirsty after I drink. I'm a heavy drinker, water, and like, I just 3 days in the desert, no water. They came to this place called Marah, and it says this: they could not drink its water because it was bitter. And so the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we going to drink? What are we to drink?" Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw this piece of wood into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law, a promise to them, and there he tested them. He said, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians." When he says that, think diseases, think 10 plagues, think some of the things that he had just used to reveal himself to Pharaoh. And he says this, he says, if you do these things, then I will not bring on to you any of the diseases I brought onto them, because I am the Lord, the God who heals you. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. See, here's the deal. After the Red Sea, post-Red Sea, post this incredible event in the life of the Israelites, it was only 3 days later, 3 days after probably one of the biggest victories that they had ever experience. It was only 3 days later, they're traveling and they're thirsty. They're traveling and they're parched. And I get it. I understand. If I'm traveling 3 days and you're in the desert and you're walking on rocks and you're breathing in dust and you're breathing in sand, you're going to be very, very thirsty, right? Everybody is. And so what happens is basically they see water on the horizon. They see it, you know. And sometimes you're not sure if that's a mirage. Like, they say that when you see that, sometimes you get there and it just never shows up. But you see water on the horizon. You have these expectations. You have this anticipation. You have this uncontrollable desire to get it. And so they travel, and it's still hot. The sun is beaten down, and they get to the water, and they go to dip in, and it's impalatable. It's unpotable. You can't drink it. And so it's this bitter water, and they spit it out, and they begin to grumble. Here's really the most convicting thing to me is this, is that it's so easy to forget past provision when pain comes. So easy to forget God's record of coming through when you're in the moment of pain. When you're in the moment that things begin to break down, it's hard to remember that He has provided. And so our emotional condition, our physical condition, affects our spiritual joy. It affects our joy, and it makes us grumble. Your first point this morning is this, and we're just going to do five quick takeaways from this and then some application, is this, is that great works of God are often followed by strong temptation. And verses 22 and 23 say this. They say, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, which is a place, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. Have you ever noticed that that after great victory comes great temptation, comes great discouragement, comes great defeat, comes great dissension, great depression, great spiritual attacks, that after some big point in life that you come back, and sometimes we warn our students about it too, that that it's coming. And sometimes it's as easy as coming back from a trip away and you throw your bag down and your parent yells at you. And we're like, hey, do things right, do things that you're supposed to do. And here's the reality is that for a lot of us this morning, we feel like the enemy is really far away. We feel like the enemy, we feel like the devil is burning in hell currently. That's not how the Bible teaches this. The Bible teaches this. If you look at 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible teaches it like this, is that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Here's the deal, folks, is that he is alive and well, and he has workers. He has little workers that's job is to throw you off, whose job is to mess things up for you as much as they can. And so we have to understand that our enemy is a crafty one. We have to understand that he's crafty. And with that, with the nature of sin, like we're suckers for it. But the reality is that the mighty works of God many times are followed by great attacks from the devil. Your second point is this, is grumbling is really easy. Grumbling is easy. Verse 24, so the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? See, the Israelites were really, really good at grumbling. And the reality is, we are too, right? Like, we grumble over everything. And here's the sad part, is we sat in this room last week, and we talked about Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. And people in the crowd last week stood up and they told you things about how God provided for them. They shared things about how the work of God in their life had been manifested. And when we grumble, when we complain, whatever that's about, any circumstance that we're doing, we're grumbling about the weather, right? We grumble about school. We grumble about our job. We grumble about our friends. We grumble about our parents. We grumble about our health. The reality is, that when you participate in that, you're ultimately grumbling against God, who, according to Ephesians 1:11, works all things according to his will, works everything for the good of his people. Our grumbling is an affront to God's goodness. Do you ever feel that way with your kids? Like what they said to you is an affront to your goodness with them? We've treated them good. We've treated them better than they deserve sometimes, right? And yet, sometimes we deal with entitlement. And they feel entitled. Sometimes we won't go there, but sometimes I feel entitled. And sometimes I live a really comfortable life. And I feel like certain things should be given to me. And the reality is that when we grumble, when we take and we grumble about things, it's an affront to God's provision. It's an affront to his sufficiency. It's an affront to his sovereignty. It's an affront to his goodness. Here's the deal. I debated this week. I debated over the past month as this week comes up on two names of God that I really had a hard time choosing between. This of course being Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. The other one is Jehovah Nisi. And that's this, and that is God is my banner. God is my banner. It's a military term that when God did something, we throw it on a banner. And that's what people did last week in here. That's what we should be doing on a regular basis, that man, God is good. God is good. You see the banners? It'd be like this. It'd be like if one of you guys walked in here with one of these banners. Like, grab the banner out front that says, he is risen, and you come in here, and this is my hope, and you stake that down. That's what Jehovah Nisi is, that God is my banner, and that's what we should be doing, that God is creator, that God is sufficient, that God is all these things. And because of that, he's provided, and then he becomes my banner. That this is what I stand under. This is why I stand. This is it. That God is my banner. When we take a God whose track record is impeccable, when we take a God who has provided for you time and time again, and we begin to grumble, it's an affront to his character. It's an affront to his nature. It's an affront to who he is. Here's your next point. There's healing at the tree. There's healing by the tree. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them. And there he tested them. See, what God does in this scenario is he makes the water sweet. He didn't make the tree sweet. He made the water sweet, and he used the tree to do it. And the reality is that God has the power to make the bitter into sweet. He has the power in your life to make your bitter circumstances, your bitter choices, the bitter things that we've done, into sweet. So whatever despair, whatever disappointment, whatever disillusionment, whatever bitterness, whatever frustration that you may be experiencing or have experienced, he can make those sweet. Now, this healing of the bitter water, I believe, is foreshadowing. It's something that's said to make you think in the future about something else. Write down the verse of 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. This is the foreshadowing, I believe, that we're talking about. And it's this, that he himself Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live for righteousness, because by his wounds we have been healed. This word tree is the word zulon in its original form, and it's the same word in Exodus 15 as it is in 1 Peter, as it is in Genesis chapter 2 when he talks about the tree of life, all the way into Revelation chapter 22 when he talks about the tree of life. You don't stand before a God who came up with a second plan. There's no plan B. The plan from the original creation to the end was a tree. It was a tree. It was a zulon, from the tree of life to the tree where he bore our sins, to the tree of life. And that is God's plan, is healing by the tree. See, the reality is the cross is his healing. The tree is the healing. And whatever that looks like in your life, whether that's a healing like physically, I believe that God is still in the healing business. Whether that's emotionally, whether that's spiritually, the healing's in the tree. The healing's in the tree. Here's your fourth point, is that God makes a promise. That God makes a promise. He says, if you listen carefully, underline listen carefully, to the voice of the Lord, your God, and then underline do what is right. If you listen carefully, if you do what is right in his eyes, and then the third thing is if you pay attention to his commands and keep all of his decrees, I will not bring you any of the diseases I've brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord, the God who heals you. God makes a decree. He makes a promise. My 10-year-old asked me last night, she's like, we're talking, and she was explaining something, and she's like, what's that name for like a promise, but it's a Bible promise? And I'm like, I don't know, decree? She's like, that's it. We were talking about that at GA camp. And I'm like, what? Okay. And like a 10-year-old doesn't use the word decree, but she did. And a decree is this, is it's a promise. And God's making this promise of provision. It all weaves back in together to who he is and how his nature is. He makes this promise to provide. He makes this promise to heal. He makes this promise to take care of his people. And there are conditions. All right, did you pick it up? The conditions are this, is that we listen. That we listen carefully to the voice of the Lord. The second one is that we do what is right, that we obey. And the third one is that we pay attention to his commands. Or I would say that we seek truth. We seek what he wants in our life. We're to watch over his word. We're to be engaged with his word. We're to seek it. We're to treasure it. We're to preserve it. And we're to keep it. Do we listen closely to God's command? Do we obey them? Like daily life, our daily life, our daily living, do we listen closely to what he says? Here's your fifth and final point here this morning, is that God brings us to times of refreshing. They came to Elim. We're going to compare and contrast two places here this morning. The place of Marah, which was the place of bitter, and the place of Elim, which was like really nice, okay? So he's at Elim. They're at this place, bitter. They can't taste the water. And he brings them to this other place. And it says this, is that they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees. And they camped there near the water. Where else would you camp? If you'd been traveling, if you'd been in that journey, if you had seen what they had seen, where else would you camp? You would camp near the water. And if you come upon a place and there are 12 streams and there are palm trees, that means that there is what? water, that there's fresh water, that there's good water, that there's water like they hadn't seen in a long time. According to them, it had really only been 3 days. So they get to Elim, and they says this is a place with springs and trees, and it's the next place that God took them. See, here's the reality, and here's where I think like this becomes really important to us, is that we all go to Mara. We all go to places. We all go to that place of Mara in life. There are places that we can't avoid. There are places that we can't detour. You can't skip them. You can't tunnel around them. We all have our Maras in life. But we also have our places of Elim. There will be bad times. There will be seasoning of your faith. But there will also be times of refreshing. I think that's why the psalmist said it like this in Psalm 30, verse 5. He says this. He says, though the sorrows may last through the night, though it's really bad, though things really suck right now, joy comes in the morning. That's the MJV, not the ESV. Joy comes in the morning, that no matter how bad that it gets, no matter how tough that it gets, that joy comes in the morning. See, the reality is life isn't always battles. It's not always bitter water. But sometimes God brings us to the refreshing waters. Sometimes God brings us to the streams that are refreshing. Though the sorrow may last through the night, the joy comes with the morning. We must be people who accept the bitter water with the sweet. We must be people who understand that God has our best in mind. And if he's allowed for that in life, he knows what he's doing. And I can't tell you how many times that those stories have been used for the benefit of others. Okay? Though the sorrow may last through the night, the joy comes with the morning. So we're going to wrap up like this, is three or four things that I want you to hold on to, and one of them is this, is that there was no healing until they tasted the bitterness. You follow me? Like, there was no healing until they tasted the bitterness. There was no healing until they went through that process. And so what does Jehovah Rapha do? He's the God who heals. How does he do that? How does he work? How does it really look in real life? I believe there's really three or four areas that he does this in. And the first is this, is that there's physical. And this word physical is rooted out of a word called physician. It means to heal. It means that you're going through something physical. And in this room, we've experienced people who have experienced physical healing. It means to repair or to get over sickness or to remove pollutions and restore you to your normal productive state. And I think God is about physical healing still. I think he is. And the next one is emotional. In Psalm 147, verse 3, says that he heals the brokenhearted. It's a soul healing. It's like that emotional healing. It's a heart healing where, you know, the situation where your heart just hurts. He's about that. He's about that sort of healing, this soul healing. And sometimes these are as a result of decisions that we've made. And sometimes these are as a result of decisions that other people have made for us. But Jesus is still about emotional healing. So physical healing, emotional healing, and then a spiritual healing. In Psalm chapter 41, he says this, "O Lord, have mercy on me, heal me, for I have sinned against you." Whatever troubles, the lack of self-control, habitual sin, the choices that we've made, relationships, God is about spiritual healing. And if we've learned nothing else this morning, it's this, is that that healing starts at the tree. That healing starts at a tree where Jesus bore your sins and my sins so that we could experience his perfection, so that we could experience his healing. This morning we take a rock and skip it across Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And the reality is, we can be. And sometimes we're healed in ways that we don't even know we needed. This is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. I believe that any time that we look at God's word, that there's a response. And so as we have a time of response, Dennis is going to come up and we're going to sing through a response song. You deal with God how you would have him deal there where you're at. If you want to come use this as an altar, whatever that looks like. If you need someone to pray with, whatever that looks like for you. Stand with me this morning. Let's pray together, and we'll sing. Father, we just want to say thank you for loving us. And man, at the center of your nature is love, and the center of how you heal us, whether that's physically or emotionally, or even most importantly this morning, spiritually. At the center of all that is your love. And the reality is that you loved us so much that when we couldn't do anything for ourselves, when we no longer had any control of it, that you died for us so that we could come into relationship with you. And we thank you for that, and we love you for that. Pray that as your word has been spoken here, that you would respond in our hearts exactly as you would have us to respond, and you do that for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our open my eyes. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that I love. I want to see Jesus.
as the ushers come forward. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you do open our eyes and you open our ears. Lord, we thank you to your word this morning as Mike has shared that, Lord, and pray, Lord, that it speaks to our hearts, and Lord, that we accept that and apply it to our lives, Lord, and live it in our lives, Lord. We love you and honor you, and it's in your Son's precious name we do pray. Amen.